for us. We're praying for you. Let's get in the Word tonight, Exodus chapter 12. And I'll try not to hold you long. I'm mindful that many of you work, and many of you have to get up early in the morning, and I want to be mindful of that. Amen. Exodus chapter 12. When you're there, just say amen.
Amen.
All right, Exodus 12. We're just going to read verses 21 through 23, and then I'm going to visit Revelation 12, very similar to this morning, to an Old Testament and a New Testament. And Exodus 12 and verse 21, this is what it says. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. You shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin, and none of you shall go out of the door of his house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through and smite the Egyptians when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts. The Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. Revelation 12, very last book of the Bible. I'm going to read three verses there. And then, Lord willing, we'll preach. When you're there, just give me a good hearty amen.
Amen.
Revelation 12, verses 9 through 11. And the great dragon was cast out, the old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels was cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying, in heaven now has come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, who accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Notice that. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. I'm going to deal with that simple subject tonight. This is a message I usually like to preach along with a few other ones, a series, if I'm allowed to. But this is, I'm going to jump right in the middle. I want to preach to you on the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
Sounds simple, but let's get in here and let's see our position in Christ today. I know we preached about Christ this morning, but I don't know nobody else better to talk about. Amen? I mean, I can sit up here and quote different things, quote different preachers, but I tell you, I love talking about Jesus. Pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you. God, we're looking for you to help us tonight. Lord, we need your anointing to come and help me preach. Lord, I know we need you, Father. I'm looking for heaven to visit us, Lord. If your stamp of approval comes, Holy Ghost, we can see so much accomplished. Lord, our efforts are in vain if you do not anoint us, Holy Ghost. Help me tonight, dear Father. Anoint my lips, God. Let this work find root in our hearts. Let the altar service be a product of the Holy Ghost. And God, we'll love you and give you glory, honor, and praise. Lord, we love you with all of our hearts. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. There's much debate on the blood of Jesus Christ. Many believe that even at Calvary, that after that blood was shed, that it concluded its work. Now, I've even read one commentator that made this comment. He says, it does not matter if dogs lick it up or kick and speck through it, that the blood of Jesus, after it dried up on Calvary, there after that work was accomplished, that that blood has no present effect of the day. But I like to just tell that commentator in a very kind way, just to be quiet, maybe find a different job or a different hobby, because there is a basin in heaven, that temple in heaven, which was a replica that was shown here on earth. There's still that blood, that living blood of Jesus Christ still flows through Emmanuel's veins. We read in Hebrews 9 and 12, it says, neither by the blood of goats and cows, but by his own blood he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. We understand that the blood of the Lamb was precious blood. It was a mighty blood, something that was different than any other blood in the whole entire world. Amen. We read in Revelation chapter 12, it says that they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Overcame who? Well, the Bible just shows us that, as I read to you. It said that they overcame that great dragon, the devil, Satan, and it also called him the accuser. There we see four different pictures of the enemy. It gives us four different elements of Satan. And if I'd like to show you this right quick, you would understand that these are the four different avenues that Satan tries to use into the believer's life. The very first picture was this. It said that he was a great dragon. This is that fear-inducing, that part of Satan where it tries to strike fear in the heart of the believer. It tries to put that mindset in you that try to incapacitate you where you feel like you're not saved. You feel like maybe you cannot make it. You feel like you cannot overcome. It's that fear
tactic of the enemy. Do you understand today that many people, that maybe even underneath the sound of my voice, that something that holds you at bay in your spiritual life, a lot of times is fear. It's that phobia of what if this is going to happen? What if I take the next step? What if I have enough courage to trust the Lord, enough faith to trust in Him? That great dragon Satan, we would understand this is that great picture of that fear-inducing power of the enemy. We would read in the book of Genesis, you would find a picture of Satan there. He is a serpent. He is a serpent. That's what they called him. They called him a subtle serpent. But then when you see him in the book of Revelations, he is no longer a serpent, but he is a great dragon. It's a picture that Satan has gotten bigger. He has gotten more keen. He has gotten more tactical against the believers. Amen. He has studied humanity for 6,000 plus years, and we understand that he knows that. He knows what we fear. He knows all these things. And I'd like to remind us today that I know we have a picture of Satan in the book of Revelations as a great dragon, but in the book of Genesis, we have a picture of Jesus Christ as the seed of a woman. But in the book of Revelation, he's a Savior with eyes like fire, a victorious Savior. So not only is the devil maybe gotten a little keener, maybe a little smarter, but I'd like to encourage you that when grace sin abounds, grace abounds much more, that Jesus Christ is still greater today than the enemy. Like the pastor's already said tonight, hey, who can be against us? If God be for you, who can be against us? The second picture we have here is that old serpent. That is the deceiving element of Satan, the deception. And oh God, we can look around and see the deception in our age, false doctrine, false ideas, not just in the world and not just Israel, but false doctrine even in the house of God, different things that people have received about. The third picture is the devil, which means accuser and slanderer. That's the part of Satan that accuses you, that tries to convince you you're not saved, that tries to tell you that you're not good enough, that tries to tell you that you will not do what God has called you to do. He reminds you of your failures. He reminds you of your defeats. That is the accusing element of the enemy. But then it says Satan, and that is the adversary, the opposition. And you know what I'm talking about, because as a believer in Jesus Christ, we feel that opposition every day. But it says we overcome him. We overcome the fear. We overcome the deception. We overcome the accusation. We overcome the opposition. All by the blood of the Lamb of Jesus Christ. I thank God for that blood today. That tells me that no matter what the enemy comes, no matter what he sends our way, that us as a believer can step over it, that we can understand there's a place of victory that you and I can live in. You understand the blood of the Lamb, the blood of Jesus Christ, as he was referred to. It's different than any other blood that has ever been in the world. There has been a lot of bloodshed over the years, through the centuries, humans and animals. And Lord, if you were just to consider the wars that have been fought over the years, and as the blood has been shed of different human beings, but that blood was not good enough to wash away sins. When I went to Gettysburg a few years ago and visited there, and there I looked at a little plaque there over a field, and it said that 15,000 people had died in one day in that field. And I thought to myself, I'm always trying to think biblically there, and I said, man, isn't it amazing to think, as you look at that green field there, one day it was covered in blood of 15,000 different people, but not one drop of that blood was good enough to take away the sins of the world. It was not good enough to buy your redemption. I'm glad to know tonight that I've got that blood in me. It's not type A, it's not type B, but it's type C for Christ. I thank God for the blood of the Lamb. I thank God for the blood of Jesus. I thank God for the almighty blood of the Lamb of God. Somebody say amen. First thing is this, that blood is strange. It is different. You know it's different from Adam's blood. If it wasn't different from Adam's blood, I'd put my suit in the good room and did a good job. I know it's different. I know it's better. If not, we're a bunch of heads and we're all crazy. If we're here tonight, Jesus' blood was the same as your blood and my blood. Not only that, but that blood was sacrificial blood. I know we sing songs like the idea that Jesus spilled his blood. But any time you spill something, that's on accident. That wasn't an accident when Jesus spilled his blood. It was predestined. From the very foundations of the world, God knew he needed a Savior. God knew he needed redemption. God knew he needed forgiveness. And it was all in the blood of Jesus. It not only is it changed, not only is it sacrificial, but it was strong blood. It is the only blood in the galaxy, past, present, and future, that could break the bondage of sin, that could bring the drug addict to an order and see him washed clean, that could bring the pervert to an order and see him break free from his bondages. Thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh yes. Isn't it amazing to know? We often only look on the physical parts of salvation. Say, so-and-so really played good tonight. But God, if you could see the mechanics of it, if you could get back in the past, maybe a few tears, and you could see what was happening in the spiritual realm, you would see somebody that was wretched. You would see somebody that was covered in sin. You would see somebody that was just completely separated from God. And you would see the arms of God reach down and lift them up. Amen. It is the blood that is sown blood. Now, a few months ago, I had to do a little side work, and I painted the interior of a house. And the interior of this house, I don't know who lived in it, but it looked like they lived walking on the wall. It just did. I thought I was just going to go in there and paint it in one day, but five or six coats of paint later, and weeks later, I'm sitting there still trying to paint the trim, still trying to get the dirt. I mean, it was a mess. I didn't know what I was going to do. And I don't know, there was a kid that lived there, obviously, before, but wherever they were an artist, and they liked to write on the wall for some sort of marker. I don't know all what it was, but every time I would paint over it, a few days later, I'd come back the next day, and there was the mark on the wall. I'm telling you, man, it was aggravating me. It was testing my sanctification. It was doing, I was just in a conflict in my life. I said, I've got to get rid of that one. They weren't a big boy. It was just there. But he kept coming through cone after cone after cone. I thought to myself, my Lord, that's what it was like in the Old Testament. They would slay. They would slay a lamb. They would slay a bullock. They would do sacrifice. But the sin always came back through. But when the blood of Jesus was applied, when it's applied to your life, it's not going to come back up. It's not going to bring back through. When it's underneath the blood, it is clean and it's washed away. Thank the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Understand here, there's two aspects of this term, the blood of the Lamb. First is the blood is our source of our redemption. Second, the Lamb is the nature of our redemption. I want you to get this today, because this is where many make mistakes at. First, the blood is the source of our redemption. Second, the Lamb was the nature of our redemption. When we look in the book of Exodus chapter 12, it gives us our picture and our type. It gives us a lot of lesson about the blood of the Lamb. Not only were they to apply the blood to the doorpost, but they were to roast and eat the Lamb. They were supposed to not only apply the blood, but they were to eat of the Lamb. Many of us like the idea of forgiveness. I've been to jailhouses and prisons. I've been in different places. It says, who wants to be forgiven? Now the hand stays down. Everybody likes forgiveness. Everybody likes the cotton candy part of it. Everybody likes the sweet part of it. But then you tell them, not only do you need to be forgiven, but there's a life you must partake of. There's a doctrine you must eat of. There's content. Not only is it good to be forgiven, but you must eat of the Lamb of God. Oh, let's get out of Egypt. Let's get out of here. Let's get out of Pharaoh's bondage. But oh, if you only applied the blood, that wasn't good enough, church. You had to eat the Lamb. You had to partake of the nature of Christ. First, the blood is the source of our redemption. Second, the Lamb is the nature of our redemption. If you only had the blood applied, it was incomplete.
Come on now.
Come on now. I know we teach the sloppy agape in some areas. It's agape love, yes. But I'll tell you, there's qualifications in some of it. God wants you to come closer. I mean, ain't nothing better than to come into an altar and be washed completely clean. I'll never diminish that. That's true. But when you go home, and when you begin to walk with God, the Holy Ghost is going to come to you. He's going to testify of Christ. He's going to try to edify you. He's going to try to sanctify your minds. He's going to sanctify your heart. He's going to tell you, you need to eat of the Lamb. When that angel of death came into Egypt, he came and saw the blood on the outside. But if you could look inside, they were sitting down, they were feasting at a table. They were eating of the Lamb. Amen. Got to do more than be forgiven. Little Abel Hill said it like this, it's not hard getting you to the cross, it's hard getting you on the cross. Amen. It ain't hard getting you to the cross, it's hard getting up on the cross. We have to also eat up the Lamb, or our redemption is complete. Let's look at Exodus 12 in your mind. You don't have to turn there, but here it is. Israel's in Pharaoh's territory there in Egypt. Pharaoh had been in control for 400 years. When Pharaoh said, get up, you got up. When Pharaoh said, go to bed, you went to bed. It was a picture of slavery and bondage. It is a picture of sin. We know that. But we know that God gave Moses a pattern. He gave Moses instruction to deliver the people out of bondage. And he says in Exodus 12 and 21, that Moses called for the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. It was an estimated 200,000 lambs was needed for the Passover. That's a lot of blood. That is a lot of effort, but it was required for them to survive and to get out of Egypt. Amen.
Amen.
I don't know about you, church, but I'm looking forward to getting out of here.
Amen.
I know there's a lot of things that look, I remember before I was married, I said, Lord, don't come back till I get married. Come on, it's always something. We young people say, man. And then we say, Lord, don't come back till I have kids. Lord, there's still more I want to do. But more than I look around and see the pressures of Egypt and see the bondage and the slavery and see the direction this world is going, there's a lot of things I still want to do. There's a lot of places I like to go and see. There's people I like to get see saved. There's people I like to see healed. There's people I like to see to get the Holy Ghost. But the more and more the pressure comes, I've seen, oh Lord, come quickly. It'd be all right if you take us. It'd be all right if you deliver us. We have to understand this, church. They had to slay the lamb. This was a process. And in Hebrews 11 and 28, it says, through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood. It said, through faith Moses kept the Passover. Now help me. I want to preach this to you. You think it took faith? Now I want to explain this to you. Let me paint a picture for you. Moses is walking into Egypt. He's an 80-year-old man. He's got a gray beard and a stick and has a lamb underneath his arm. And he says, hey, y'all, go get your lamb just like this. We're getting out of here, buddy. Most likely somebody, now this is just my mind, I'm a little crazy. Most likely somebody would have came to Moses and said, Moses, you're over here with the little bleeding lamb. Look, have you seen Pharaoh's palace? Have you seen his cars? Have you seen the spears and the swords? Have you seen the chariots? You got to need more than a lamb. Have you tried doing this? Have you tried military strategy? And Moses is sitting there and says, I don't understand it all, but this lamb and the contents in his body is going to break us out of Egypt. If Pharaoh ain't going to be there to hold on, Pharaoh's going to have to say goodbye, and there's nothing he's going to be able to do about it because I got a lamb.
Amen.
It's crazy. It's crazy. Hey, Moses, what are you going to do with that little lamb? We're getting out of Egypt, and Pharaoh ain't going to be able to help it. Matter of fact, Pharaoh's going to ask us to leave.
Yeah.
Pharaoh's going to say, why don't you get out of here, you aggravating Israelite. I don't know why you came here anytime. Get your own corn next time. Understand this, sir. Here he is, but here we are in the New Testament. It still takes faith. We believe in a God that you cannot see. We think of believing in a God that you've never seen with a tangible eye. Yeah, I've never seen a cross. I've never seen the resurrection. I've never seen Jesus with my physical eyes. But I have faith in the Lamb of God. I know what I feel. I know what He's done for me. I've got faith in the Lamb. I'm looking at the world. I see the White House. I see the politics. I see the sin. But I've been my faith in the Lamb of God. People still think we're crazy. Have you seen Him? No. How do you know He's real? Because I know what He's done. I've tried it. Amen. I felt fear. I felt the devil lose his grip before. Here we are. We're born into slavery. We're born into sin and iniquity and bondage. But we put our faith in the blood of the Lamb. You say, can I trust it in the Lord? Absolutely you can. You say, will that Lamb still deliver me? Yes, He can today. Every day you must plead the blood. You must hold on by faith. And look at this, church. When they put their faith in the blood of the Lamb, Pharaoh done his best. He told them, get out of here. Pack up and get out. We don't want you here. You've got to leave. What happened? The blood of the Lamb delivered the Israelites out of Egypt. Now let me explain this. I'm going to move forward. I don't want to bore you, but hear me. We often think of the blood as some personal thing. It is personal, but just understand what I'm saying. We act like it's something that is accredited to us. I'm covered in the blood. But I want you to understand the blood of the Lamb was first Godward. First God saw the blood. It wasn't for you to see the blood. It wasn't for Moses to see the blood. The reason that God said do this, He said, when I see the blood, so when you're walking around this world, when God looks down and sees you covered by the blood of the Lamb, He sees His Son, He sees redemption, He sees forgiveness, He sees the cross, He sees His Son, Jesus Christ, making intercession for you and I. Amen. The blood of the Lamb in Scripture is so real and so prevalent, we must preach it. Genesis chapter 3, before He ever kicked Adam and Eve out of the garden, He made a coat for him. Many believe that it was a lamb. You look in the book of Revelation, you see Jesus coming back on a white sea with His vesture dipped in blood. You look throughout the Bible, and the Bible is a bloody book. It says Abel offered a lamb. Will we believe that? Abraham had a blood covenant, the ram in the thicket. We have Moses, we have David, Solomon. We have the high priest, lamb after lamb was slain, blood after blood was slain. That blood of the lamb, it was supposed to be in memory of what God had done in Egypt. And then He told us to keep the Passover in the Old Testament. You see that. But then we read in the New Testament, you have somebody that came in this world. Every lamb in the Old Testament was a type of Jesus Christ. It was pointing towards the Savior. Then in the New Testament, at the birth of Jesus, do you think it was by chance that shepherds came and witnessed His birth there in a manger, saw Him in a manger? Many believed, and commentators believe, that these shepherds were the same ones that raised lambs for temple worship. There was somebody that came to witness the Lamb of God.
From His birth, shepherds came. At 30 years old, He walks by Jordan. John the Baptist points at Him and says, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." Did you hear that? He taketh away the sins of the world. When Abel sacrificed the sacrifice, it covered his sin. When a high priest was sacrificed once, it would cover Israel's sin. But when Jesus died on the cross, it didn't cover one. It didn't cover Israel. It covered the whole entire world. Amen. It covered Africa, it covered Russia, it covered Asia, it covered North Carolina, it covered Hampton Roads, Virginia. That blood is still real. It still has to be presented. It wants to reach the streets. It wants to reach the neighborhoods. It wants to reach our families. It must be preached that the blood of the Lamb is still real, and it's still real, and still works for our generation. Amen. The instructions in Exodus chapter 12 was take a lamb of the first year. A lamb of a one-year-old lamb was considered to be a lamb in the prime of his life, full grown. When Jesus started His ministry at 30 years old, Jewish history tells us that is when a Jewish man is in the prime of his life. He can either pursue family, he can pursue a wife, he can pursue a job, but at 30 years old, Jesus didn't pursue none of those things. When He touched a saw blade in the carpenter shop for the last time, He walked towards Calvary with a steadfast face. Here Jesus was in the prime of His life. He could have pursued other things, but the will of God was for Him to be the Lamb of God, was for Him to be that one that was going to be, and was going to be the salvation for humanity. You read the life of Jesus, you begin to study the type, and begin to compare it to the Lamb of the Old Testament. It said that this, we know the story, that for 33 and a half years, that Jesus did miracle after miracle. His ministry was there for us, and He had time when He was persecuted and ridiculed and rejected in Judea and also in Galilee. But then came the time for Him to go to Jerusalem and become that great sacrifice. One of the things that would happen in the temple with the Lamb, He had to be inspected by the high priest. He had to be inspected to be worthy of temple worship. And understand this here. We know that Jesus got arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane here. And in the first place He went, He went to the high priest's palace. He went to that place where He was inspected, and they couldn't find nothing wrong with Him. In the Old Testament, they would step over that fence. They would go inside the gate where them lambs were. They would lift up their guns. They would look at their guns. They would look at their eyes. They would look at their hoods. They would look at their coats. It had to be a perfect lamb. When Jesus went before and there at the high priest, you know, they couldn't find nothing with Him. They may have made something up in their kangaroo court, but they didn't find nothing wrong with Jesus. When Jesus went to Pilate, you know what? They inspected Him. They couldn't find nothing wrong with Him. Pilate said, "What has He done?" He said, "What is truth?" Jesus said, "I am truth." When they sent Him to Herod, Herod couldn't find nothing wrong with Him. When they came back to Pilate, they couldn't find nothing wrong with Him. I know there's skeptic and atheists all around us, and they still cannot find nothing wrong with our Savior.
Amen.
Somebody said they found the book of Judas, and that Judas and Jesus were homosexuals. Hogwash. Somebody said that Mary and Jesus had a relationship. Mary and Maggie. I said, come on now, is that all you got? Is that all you got? You got to try to challenge Him. The one, the perfect Lamb, He was inspected, and they could not find nothing wrong with Him. At the original Passover, over a quarter million lambs would be slain during temple worship. That would take 600 priests killing four lambs a minute. The blood was
was actually permitted to go down the side of the temple, and it would go down to the brook Kidron. It would literally dry. It would really dye that water crimson red there. And that's the same brook that Jesus went over when he was going to the Garden of Gethsemane. It was that Passover of Passovers. It was the last Passover that the Lamb of God would be slain.
Hear me today. The last Passover, all that blood that was slain, think about 250,000 lambs being slain in 2 days. The reason it was divided in 2 days is because of the difference between the Pharisees and Sadducees. But 250,000 lambs slain in 2 days. So much that it would dye a whole brook red. Not one drop of that blood was sufficient. Not one drop of that blood was good enough to erase the sins of humanity. We know the story there. After he left Pilate's home, he was inspected by them. I want you to get this in your mind today. I want to show you exactly what Jesus Christ did for you. Because when a baby is born in a hospital, I've done a little reading and understanding and studying that when a baby is born, that it has around one cup of blood in his body. And you have one cup of blood, that's not a whole lot. But when an adult is a full-grown man like you and I, women that have 8 to 10 pints of blood in his body. You know, Jesus could have died as a baby, and it might have been enough. He could have died maybe as just a kid, but he didn't do that. He lived to use a full-grown mature man. He gave us every drop of his blood. He gave us all of his effort. He gave us all of his strength. I don't know about you. I thank God he could have died as an infant, but he didn't die as an infant. He could have died as a teenager, but you know what he said? I will give all my efforts and all my blood for humanity.
8 to 10 pints in the body of Jesus Christ. We know the story, and I'm not trying to be graphic tonight, but I've done an in-depth study on the crucifixion in the past. And understand, I don't want to be graphic. But as Pilate sat there and took him, and they began to scourge him by the Roman soldiers, they had such an art to it, the way that they would do it, and I'm not trying to be graphic at all, but the way that they would do it, there's different ideas, but they had it down to an art. Many times people would even leave the whipping post. Many times people would even die. There's been records that people would literally bit through their tongue in such agony, trying to restrain the pain. But literally they would have a Roman soldier that would have that cat of nine tails, and they would have another soldier here, and every time that they would hit Jesus, every lick they would hit Jesus, they did not want you to die there. They were trying to get it to where you were barely hanging on. And after he would begin to whip Jesus, he would tell him, "Oh, stop right there." He would look in the face of the man or the criminal of Jesus at that time. He would look in his face and to see if he could take another lick, to see if he could go in front. We know this, so we know this. That he had the whipping post, he was scourged, and then even the blood left his body. Then he was whipped. Sometimes he would start at the head and work the way to the feet, and sometimes he would work at the feet all the way up to the head. But aren't you glad to know today that those stripes are bore for your healing? He gave you that blood that you can be touched and ministered to and healed in the name of Jesus.
Many times a man would leave the whipping post with nerves in his back and quivering muscles exposed. This is what Jesus gave us. The Lamb of God. Many times a man usually didn't walk from a whipping post. The body, it would be drugged from there. As you see Jesus here, knowing there's nothing wrong with him, they've inspected him and they cannot find a wrong. They whip him and they cannot find a wrong. The blood there begins to pour. We know the mockery, the robe, and the crown of thorns. You know how it is. And if you ever had a cut on your leg or someplace in your body, that if you put a garment on it, it begins to sear to that wound. As they would put that garment on Jesus, most likely it would sear to the fluids that was coming out of the wounds. And then they would sit there and mock him and put a crown of thorns on his head. At times people believe they would twist the crown of thorns almost like a washing machine effect to get it deeper into the mind, deeper into the skull. It would affect your memory. Understand this here today. As Jesus is sitting there, and there he has that robe on, they would rip it off after he was seared to the wounds. Blood is pouring out. I'm not trying to be graphic, and I don't pass that on the heel, but understand the blood that he said, the blood of the Lamb was for you and I. They took him to a cross, and no wonder he had to have some help with Simon the Cyrene. They take him to a cross. They put his hands out. Many people teach or think the nails were put in the palms of the hand.
At that time, the nails were put in the wrist. That was considered the hand. The hand would have never been strong enough to hold Jesus up on that cross. There he did this through his feet and through his hands. He was nailed to that cross as that was put in the ground. And crucifixion was designed not so much that you would sit there and just bleed to death, but crucifixion was designed that you would suffocate to death. That's why they would have a seat halfway, that you could sit on that seat. And when the only way that you could really get a breath of air, and the only way you could really talk, you had to push down on the nails and the feet, and you had to bring yourself up. That's why all the sayings on Calvary, the seven sayings on the cross, that's why all of them are short sayings. Here Jesus is giving us His blood. He's giving us every inch of His soul. We know they took the spear and they poked it in His side, and the blood of the Lamb flowed down. How many thanks God for the blood? How many thanks God for that pure holy blood? It's different than every other blood in the world. Amen. It's different. In India, they had a, and many of you may have heard this, but they were having a problem with the outbreak of cobra bites from the snake. There was no antidote for cobra venom at that time. There was not one. The Indian government, and now it's a very popular thing now, the Indian government began to do a worldwide research on how to try to save people that have been bitten by cobras. They finally found an antidote in a Brazilian horse. And what they would do, they would take the venom of a cobra, and they would go to that Brazilian horse, and they would inject that venom in that Brazilian horse. And then when that cobra venom would hit the blood of that horse, it would create an antidote. It would create something where it would destroy the venom and the poison. So we say it would happen at Calvary. That old serpent, the devil, put his fingers of things in our Savior. And then he tried to inject that venom of death. Then he tried to inject that venom of defeat. But when it hit the blood of the Savior, it wasn't like the blood of Moses. It wasn't like the blood of Joshua. It wasn't like the blood of Isaiah. It wasn't like the blood of Adam. It was a different blood. When that death hit the veins of Jesus, when that venom tried to take him out, the blood overcame him. The third day he's getting up from the grave. He didn't decay. He didn't rot. But he got up. Amen. Now, I've just got an imagination. I imagine the devil sitting there. Now, this isn't biblical. Don't go say Brother Derek said it was. But just a picture. Can you imagine the devil looking inside that tomb at a dead Savior? Thinking to himself, I've got him. And the devil goes over to Mr. Decay and says, Mr. Decay, I want you to work overtime these 3 days. Lay it on him. Lay it on him. And all of a sudden, can you imagine what it was like? And he told Mr. Grave, I want you to stay on top of him too. I want y'all just to work overtime. I make you very wonderful. I'll pay it out for you. Don't worry. It's going to be smooth sailing from here. And can you imagine as the devil comes there, day number one, and sees the sweat accumulated on Mr. Decay's forehead, and says, Mr. Decay, what's going on? He said, I don't know. He ain't like everybody else. He won't rot in the grave. He won't decay like everybody else. And then Mr. Grave said, he's getting hot. It seems like he wants to wake up here, Mr. Devil. Day two comes along. He comes back and Mr. Decay is sitting in the corner and he's saying, man, I don't know what's going on. I'm trying my best, but it just will not rot. I see the devil come back the third day. Mr. Decay sitting in the corner with an ice pack on his head. The spawn ran away. The Savior got up because he was the overcoming Lamb of God. Amen. Could not destroy the Savior. You read the book of Genesis, Adam died. Many different ones died. But Jesus got up. Jesus got up. Revelations 5 and 4. We know that John is having a vision of heaven. He's looking up there. We know God's showing him miraculous things. But then it says who? It says of 5 and 4. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open the book and read the book, even to look for Leah. And one of the elders saith unto me, John, read not, behold, the line of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prepared for thee to open the book and loose to 7 seals. And I beheld, and I beheld, and I beheld the Lord in the midst of the third of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb. It stood a lamb that had been slain, having 7 horns and 7 eyes. Listen to me tonight, church. When a lamb is slain, it doesn't stand back up. This is a picture of the resurrected Savior. When nobody could do it, John's over there having a pity party. And he says, John, here's a tissue. Look over there, there's a Lamb of God that's overcome. Amen. You know, I like to knock somebody's, get this in your mind. the Lamb of God has overcome. The Lamb of God. I don't say how you can keep, just keep that in your spirit. The Lamb of God has overcome. He is resurrected. He rose up from the grave. Thank God for the blood of the Lamb of Jesus Christ. I read a story one time of a mother that got in a car wreck. And they're sitting there, and this woman is in a country area where she can't find no help. There ain't no cell phone. She's there in a ditch, and she has a little infant baby. I mean, the baby's not an infant, but maybe a year old. And she's sitting there, she knows she's about to die. She knows she's not going to live, and she knows the baby's not going to live. That baby would scream out and cry. Would scream out and cry when it got hungry. And she said, I didn't have nothing to feed that baby. She said, I came to that. I'm not trying to gross you out. But she took something and she cut up anger. And she put it to the lips of that baby. And that baby would drink her blood. And I'm not trying to be graphic. But there's life in the blood. There's life in the blood of the Lamb. And there for days they lived there. They lived in that ditch, in that car wreck, before somebody found her. But when they found her, she was almost dead. But that baby was healthy, and every one of her fingers had been cut because there's life in the blood of the Lamb. Amen. There's life in this blood. Holly, come to the piano. Everybody stand to your feet tonight. Try to be considerate of your time, and just wanted you to understand this tonight. The blood of the Lamb. It said in Egypt that when the blood was applied, hear me tonight, when the blood was applied, the destroyer would pass over them. It would leave. It would not even touch them. We look around, and I know I dealt with it shortly this morning, but we look around and we know there's judgment coming to this world. The judgment of God is already revealed. You better hear me tonight because this is true. The judgment of God is already revealed. I believe we're in the third give up of God in America. I believe that. The first give up was simply this. God would give them over to vile affection. I mean, the first one, the second was vile affection, but the third was a reprobate mind. We're living in a reprobated mind world. I believe judgment is going to come. But the blood must be applied to your life. It wasn't enough that the blood was just applied, but they had to consume the Lamb. You said, Brother Derek, how do I consume the Lamb? I can open this Bible and show you red writing after red writing after red writing of what the Savior said to us. And as a believer, it's good to be forgiven. I'm not trying to diminish that. If you're here tonight forgiven, you've got every right to run an aisle and shout all you want. That's good. But I tell you this, if you're going to be an overcomer, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. There's two aspects to that. There's a source of forgiveness. There's also the Lamb that you must consume. When the blood was applied, and the destroyer passed over, this is what he said in Exodus 12 and 11. He said, and thus shall you eat it with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. They were expecting any time, hear me, any moment while they're eating that lamb. He said, eat it in haste. Because you know why? Because when the deliverance comes, we're going to get out of here.
Praise God.
You may be here tonight. I'm telling you, there's a rapture coming. There is. Everybody believes that. We believe the Bible. I believe we're getting out of here. Tonight not only are you forgiven, but the Bible says, eat it! But have your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, church, and your staff in your hand. When we're eating, brothers and sisters, we come here, we preach the Word, we worship. You know what? I'm looking over my shoulder, Brother Jones. I know He can come anytime. I'm enjoying my walk with God. Church, get your shoes on. Get your shoes on. Eat the lamb. Get your loins girded about, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. You may be here tonight and say, I don't see the rush. I see the rush. I've got lost relatives of mine. You know what? I want to see them saved. Our communities, if we're going to see them reached, I ain't waiting for year 2060. Come on now. Quit waiting. We've got to go and work now. We've got to do what we do in haste. Not only were they to eat the lamb in haste, but it goes on to say, it is the Lord's Passover. You've got to eat it in reverence. We've got to learn to understand, apply the blood, eat the lamb, be ready to go, and let's keep a holy reverence about us and know that the blood of the lamb is going to be our redemption. Understand this tonight, church. There's life in that blood. I read a story one time, and I'm going to be quiet. I'm sorry if I want to... Well, I know you're standing. I read a story one time. There was a man that was a sheep farmer. And he had a little boy, a little 9-year-old boy, I believe it was. He was going to show them the trades of sheep farming. He took his little boy, and he gave the little boy a ewe lamb, a mother lamb. And he also gave had a little baby, a mother and a little baby. He woke up the next day. That little boy walked over there to see that mother lamb and his baby. And the mother lamb was laying there dead. And the little boy began to cry. And said, Daddy, who's going to feed my little lamb? Who's going to feed it? And the daddy said, oh, I've got an idea. He said, I've got another mother lamb over here whose baby had just died. You get the story so far? The boy's got a little lamb with no mother. But he's got a mother over there with no baby lamb. So the father said, I've got a neat idea. Let's take your baby lamb over there to that mother. And maybe she'll feed him. He took that little lamb in there to that other mother. That mother leaned down and smelled it and rejected it. She was pretty much saying, that's not mine. It's not mine. So the father had another idea. He went and got that other dead baby lamb and took the wool off of it. He wrapped that other baby lamb in that wool. He sent that baby lamb back in there to that mother. She leaned over and smelled that wool from her baby. She said, that's mine. And she nourished it. Jesus, when God looks down at us, don't think He helps you because you're good looking. And don't you think He loves you just because He loves us. I know that. But don't you think He just does what He does just because we're something special. When He looks down, He sees the wool of the Lamb of God. When He sees the blood, He says, you know what He says, church? That's mine. That's mine. That's mine. I'll nourish you. I love you. I'll take care of you. It's the blood of the Lamb. Everybody, let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, let's thank God for the blood of the Lamb tonight, dear Jesus. Thank you for the blood of the Lamb, oh God. The blood of Jesus. That pure blood, that holy blood. That blood that is different from this world. Holy Ghost, in the name of Jesus. We thank you for the covering. That's all right, church. Worship in the night. If that blood means anything to you, worship in the night. Worship in the night.